I've forgotten how we
And we are live.
is that what we say? Yeah. Do I repeat this? We are live. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
I do have to confess that before we started, I did actually check up the number. It is significant. It's
Okay.
26.
26. Okay.
26 episodes, 26 weeks. We missed one or two. We've been doing this for half a year.
Wow.
Milestone. Yay, we did it.
Yes.
We did it.
Yes. I was just about to mention that I have no idea which number of peeling potatoes we are doing today.
Well, I did my homework. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's about all I've done. Okay.
I did the rest.
You did the rest. So this is a Fruit Loop original peeling potatoes.
Yes, but
Yeah.
it's based on your experience in South Korea.
Is that where I am?
I hope so. Do you know where you are?
Yes, I do. And
Okay.
I do. And probably to ruin the script already before we even have started, because I have no idea what you've got planned.
Yeah, it's okay.
We are in Natalie and Claire's house in Seoul, South Korea, or their apartment. And
Yes.
I've seen this place many times
From
on the other
the
side. And it was so strange to walk. And we walked, in South Korea, you walk in slippers. So there's like this sort of vestibule type thing, the front door, and then there's sort of this vestibule type thing. You sit down, take off your shoes, put on some slippers, you open the next door, and it just sort of all opened up in front of me. And I said, oh, so that's where the computer is that Natalie always used.
Yes.
And then I think the second question was, I need to see Claire's room, because when I would speak with Claire, it would be where I'm
Yes.
sitting. So I'm now actually sitting on her chair at her desk. The question that I have been harboring for about 3 years is, what does she see when she looks out the window in front of her? Now I have that question answered. So it was a
Yes.
really strange feeling to get a two-dimensional picture thrown back at you, three dimensional. So,
Yes.
bit of a déjà vu. I don't know. There you go. Right. So, Fruit Loop, what are we going to talk about today? Because I.
So I have a couple of Fruit Loop questions, and I'm just going to ask you these questions.
You have not lost your innocent charm. I'm just going to last you these questions. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. What would you like to know? Tell me.
So, the first question is based on your 14-kilometer hike.
You've got to start with the most brutal ones. Okay.
Yes. No, we'll get that out of the So, if your 14-kilometer hike suddenly turned into a karaoke trail, which song would you be forced to sing to unlock the next kilometer?
What a question. Dying. What a question. I don't think you can actually put it into a song. Something with a cat wailing, meowing because it hasn't been fed,
Well,
or it someone's trodden on its tail and it just goes.
about something motivational, like Eye of the
I think, Fruit Loop, you totally and utterly underestimate the agony I was under. In Natalie's boot camp. I mean, we joke about it, and you know, when we would just that. So this thing was on Wednesday. It's Friday now, and we sort of joke about it when I say, "Oh, look, Natalie, there are some stairs there." Yes, I know. And then look, there's a hill. We have to go up a hill, but there's no rocks, no branches, no trees, no dangerous things. You know, I can't cope with this. It's too safe. Yeah. And at the point of making myself completely ridiculous, more than I normally do, you know, you've got this sorry lump of meat, fat, bones.
But you have to carry up there.
You know, 100 kilo, you know, mass of something has to be sort of lugged up a very narrow path with roots sticking out. I mean, going up was one thing. Yeah.
Yes.
Coming down was a total different ballgame. It was much easier, but the risks were actually greater because you could actually, there's a lot of dead leaves on the ground and stuff like that. And, you know, it's all really rocky.
Yes.
And so you really have to be careful that you don't slip and fall on your butt. And I actually put my phone into my coat pocket because, you know, had I had it in my back pocket, I would have slipped and it would have been gone. I mean, it's on its last legs anyway, but I just didn't want it to die ungracefully in the middle.
There.
Of the
forest,
yeah. So, you know, you're walking up this. I mean, it is beautiful. It's beautiful countryside. Yes. It's breathtaking. The views are fantastic. But you just don't have time to think about a song, for the simple reason that. I'm going to say this. I mean, it's the truth. Why should I hide it? I thought I was fit. Yeah.
Yes.
But no way. ask me in 6 months' time, because the sense of achievement when we sort of got to where we were going to go.
Yes.
The sense of achievement was actually quite overwhelming. Natalie, you know, bless her soul. She praised me with, you know, she heaped me with praise. Oh, Frank, you've done a fantastic job. Keep going, fighting, so on and so forth. I'm sort of thinking, you know, come on, can I just tone it down a bit? We're just going for a walk, yeah, up a hill, in a mountain, you know. And I might live to tell the tale. But in that time, and you know, she said, you know, there was one path where we sort of had this. We were coming down again. It was like this 1 kilometer detour to go and visit a gate. And I said, well, you know, did you want to do it? I said, come on, we're in this. You know, if it's the last thing I'm going to do, at least I'm going to do it happily.
Yes.
Because at some point you just don't care anymore. Yeah.
Yes. But
I did not have the time to think of a song, let alone the Eye of the Tiger. It was more like, you know. Because it was tough going, and
yes.
You know, and if you look at it statistically, so Natalie works for a French expat magazine. She's a volunteer there, and she wrote an article about, which will come out in spring next year. And she showed it to me today, and you know. Well written, well structured, lots of good information. And the facts are that the mountains just north of Salt aren't that high. They're only about 800 meters high. It's nothing. It's not like the Alps or something, you know, the Himalayas,
yes.
Or something like that. It's little molehills, basically. Yeah. And here I am struggling to climb up one of these bloody molehills. Yeah. Anyway, so. Maybe I could think of a few swear words, which I will not repeat here.
No.
But last thing I was thinking of was, yeah, maybe there's a, hang on, there is a, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Maybe something like that.
Okay.
I gave you, look, this is it. You know, I'm struggling climbing up a bloody molehill and I've given you a song. Yes, I can do this.
You can do it. Okay. So the next question, during the tea ceremony, if your tea had a secret personality, what would it whisper to you? To calm down, to run, to buy snacks?
So let's be a bit serious about this one, because we went to this part of Seoul, and we stumbled across this this little house.
Yes.
That had a beautiful pottery display and a moon jar.
Yes.
And then this tea ceremony, which we were completely unaware of. And it was the complete opposite to the experience of the previous couple of hours, where we were gasping and gagging up a mountain.
Yes.
And this tea ceremony actually started with a bit, you know, about, so the whole thing was about 30 minutes long. And it started with about 5 minutes of meditation.
Okay.
And the tea ceremony, it actually starts with the optics of the room, of the calmness of the room, and it really brings you down to a calm level. Then you sit down, and in my case, I sort of crashed down on the mat because it was so tight. You know, this hulk of a person sort of, oh God, it hurts. And getting up was even worse. You're sitting on this cushion, and the host of the tea ceremony, she sort of said, "Would you like two?" No, thank you. And you sit on a heated wooden floor. So she's got underfloor heating.
Yes.
And it's like, wow, this is nice. I've got a warm. And you just cascade or crash down into a warm, comforting, cozy environment, and everything is in slow motion.
Yes.
So and there's this Korean woman, she did a fantastic job. She normally does this in Korean. Her English was actually not too bad, but it was challenging for her, so she did it sort of in Korean, and sometimes she would use her phone to translate something from Korean into English. But she kept a sense of tranquility and calmness. So in answer to your question, the cup of tea will do two things. It will burn your lips to death. It will turn your fingers into charcoal, because there's a very special way of holding this teacup.
Okay.
And it's very, 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 very hot.
Yes.
And in this tea is an exquisite taste. And the nature of the whole ceremony is tranquility, calm, harmony, all the elements coming in. So the cup of tea will tell you, if you do not appreciate me, and if you do not calm down, I'm going to send you up that mountain again.
Yes.
And teach you a lesson.
Another lesson.
And when you've learned that lesson, you can come back to me and we'll do it around. So, and it'll cost you another 15 euros or whatever it is in rand, 300 rand or something like that. Yeah.
Yes.
But I've lived in Tokyo and I was a small kid. I've never actually partaken in a Japanese tea ceremony or any other tea ceremony.
Yes. So,
you know, the first time in my life, and it was one of the, you know, an incredibly special moment. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. 30 minutes, it just went, excuse me, in very slow.
Anyway, okay.
Yeah, slow motion. That was good. Yeah.
Yes.
But, yeah, but the tea will tell you, you calm down, or else I'm going to
send you back on bill. But this time, do it while you are running.
Yes, running. You know, one of the things was, you know, there's this sort of this one thing that you keep saying, running to the mountains. So, you know, I'm thinking, well, maybe we should get Fruit Loop in on this one, because she's not running to the mountains. She's running in the mountains, up the mountains. And I wonder how she's going to perform in this one as well. It's not just me. Yeah. Yeah. But we have a couple of themes, like, you know, tiny house and secluded, and part of this whole experience in the mountains is that there are lots of temples, little tiny little Buddhist temples and hermitages, or
yes,
hermitages, whatever they're called. And we went past one, and there was this poor chap, you know, chanting away. Again, you know, a lot of spirituality, nature spirituality,
yes,
in there. It was an exceptionally beautiful day.
Yes.
Somewhat painful.
But I'm sure you recovered already.
Well, you know, Natalie's, you know, so day one was 14 kilometers. Day two was 7 kilometers. Day three was just under 5 kilometers. That was today.
Yes.
So we're going downhill here, I think.
Yes. Do you think she has any other surprises for you for this week or for the next coming couple of days?
Well, I could tell you what we did today, but that would ruin my story.
Okay, we can skip that then. Don't ruin the story yet.
And I know what we're going to be doing in the next 3 days, because we've only got 3 full days left.
Yes.
Basically, I'll give you a hint. Basically, the way through to a man's brain is through his stomach. More I will not say. Yeah.
But you also did mention you are going to eat your way through South Korea.
Oh, I've been doing that. I've been doing that. The food is terrific.
Okay.
But we're just warming up. We're just warming up.
Okay. Yeah. So my next question is actually quite fitting to the food side. But it's also about all the people that you've met so far. So you met a lot of people, but I want to know which one looked the most likely to be an undercover K-pop star on a lunch break.
That's a difficult one. Well,
yes, I know, because you met some older people as well.
I met one old person, but he actually spoke with Natalie first, and then I sort of gate crashed that conversation. And he must be in his 70s or 80s. You wouldn't see it looking at him. We were, God knows, somewhere in Seoul, and there was a whole series of photographs. We were sort of near the press center, sort of where I think the Korean Press Association is or something like that. So there's a lot of media places there, newspapers and so on. And outside one of the buildings was a whole series of photographs depicting scenes from the Korean War in the 1950s. And this gentleman who spoke really, really good English. he did something which we were talking about kindness yesterday.
Yes.
He came up and wanted to know where we were from. So we said, you know, France and slash Germany and so on. And he said, thank you for your support of my people during the Korean War.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I wasn't even born then. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, that's what makes it so significant or so amazing.
Exactly. He sort of forget the age. You know, we're talking about nationalities, yeah. and then he continues saying that, you know, he was so inspired by the support that other nations gave. It was basically it was predominantly the United States and France.
Yes.
That supported what then became South Korea. He felt so inspired that he actually then studied in Cambridge, and then he worked for the United Nations for 8 years in some sort of capacity, and then he worked for some other organizations to encourage that Korea, South Korea, had prospered and become this tiger state, and as that's called, and become an economic powerhouse. I mean, the economics are actually quite interesting. There's a lot of money in this country, and it's displayed. It is, you know,
yes,
you can the cars, the way the people dress, some of the shops. I mean, they, you know, if you have it, they're going to flaunt it. Yeah.
Yes.
And he then took this spirit of support and helped, did the patriotic thing and helped his own country by helping other countries who needed support. Okay, now there's a couple of dollar signs and euro signs and Korean won signs. I mean, this is not a charity. This was business, but he took the spirit.
Yes.
And pushed it forward. Is he a K-pop star? I think probably yes, before K-pop was even invented.
Okay.
And I say this because, again, in my discussions with Clea over the last few years,
yes,
K-pop is actually quite a revolution for Korean society. And because these kids, they are hard working. I mean, it's a grueling job. The discipline is phenomenal. The message that they're trying to project is, hey guys, you know, we're a great country, but let's be human. Let's not be robots in a society that is focused on making at least the southern half of the peninsula fantastic. So
yes,
they're talking about self-love and being kind and gentle and so on and so forth. So I would actually say that this 70-year-old plus, you know, whatever his name is and so on, he probably was the dinosaur of what became K-pop. On a completely different level, yeah.
Yes.
The offspring of this was the chap that I met on the subway called Tony.
Yes.
I think that's what his name is. Who I saw learning English vocab on his smartphone or his cell phone.
Yes.
And I said this yesterday. So I sort of had to overcome a huge wave of hesitation to say, am I going to speak? Because, you know, it's, you see these things on YouTube, don't you know, you do some sort of
yes.
thing and make people happy. It's easy to see it on YouTube. Think, oh yes, I could do that. And then actually doing it.
Yeah. Yes.
I very gently tapped him on the shoulder. And then we got into talking and it was great. Yeah.
Yes.
We'll leave the other three out of the equation because that was
unexpected. He was still trying to process that.
Well, I'm still trying to process that, and there's part of me who says, can we speak with these two people without the problems that they're going to bring into the discussion? I still haven't figured the answer to that one yet, but we'll leave that cryptic and we'll just bury that one on the side. So yes.
Yes.
The old veteran is the K-pop dinosaur. Tony on the Metro is the offspring of that. He was relatively open. But there have been other situations where the message hasn't quite thrown through. And the language barrier is phenomenal.
Yes.
Is phenomenal. And I'll allude you to something. I had a situation this morning where I wanted to, where I bought something, and it just completely fell apart. Yeah, but I'll keep that for my story. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So the next question, if Seoul gave you an official title based on your trip so far, what would it be? Like Sir Hike-a-Lot or Master of Tea or Lost Tourist?
It would be the official it would have to be something with a student. And so I wrote in the pineapple. I tried to write something intelligently about my ambivalence of this trip.
Okay.
And I just couldn't get excited about going to Seoul. Yeah.
Okay.
I've done a lot of traveling, but it was at the beginning of my life. Any traveling that I've done, has been within in the last 15, 20, 30, 20, 25 years has been within Europe. The last time I did a long-haul flight was in the early, mid-80s, where I flew from New York, from London. I was living in London at the time, and I flew to New York to do something at Cornell University. And since then, I hadn't flown anything significant.
Yes.
And it was a 9-hour flight. It was a 3-hour flight, Frankfurt, Istanbul, and then a 9-hour flight from Istanbul to Seoul. And I just couldn't get excited. And I'd heard all these stories. I'd spoken with everybody about it. I mean, and part of me was saying, well, actually, it's nothing new. And this was confirmed that Seoul it's actually a pretty ugly city. Because the main, you can't even call them roads, but the traffic flows on 8-lane something, freeways, highways, roads, boulevard, not even a boulevard. There's this constant flow of traffic, 4 lanes in one direction, 4 lanes in another direction. And then you just see these gigantic high-rise buildings, which are apartments. I mean, people live in an apartment in a high-rise building. And the place, the district where Natalie and her family live, it's like almost an oasis in this wilderness. So, I've been walking through Seoul and using the metro and the bus and God knows what else, which is actually dirt cheap. Transportation is dirt cheap. Yeah, you do not need a car because it's just too expensive. The fact that 18 million people have got cars, yeah, some are. Anyway, so that was all confirmed. But you really have to look closely and look away from the superficiality of it, and then you really learn and see the differences. But they Yes. are in the tiny, tiny details. You know, they are in the signs. I mean, I've sent you and other people some shop signs that sound a little bit funny. And I got a few more.
Yes.
The spectacular beauty of the nature. We joke about me running up the mountain, but it is actually spectacularly beautiful. The light. I've been here for a week now. We've had sunny days all along.
Yes.
It's relatively, it's been a couple of cold days, just above, 1 to 2 degrees centigrade. Now we're back to double digits, but it's sunny.
Yes.
And you've got to look at the detail of way certain flower arrangements are, or the way trees are in parks, or the way something is displayed or presented, or the beauty of the hanboks, the traditional clothes that they wear
yes.
at the palace, the architecture of the old architecture from the Middle Ages and previous times. That's the beauty of it. Yeah. And
yes.
then you've got these middle-aged women, sort of short-haired, and they've got a very strict expression on their face.
Yes.
And they are they hold up the traditional, or they keep up the traditional values of Korean society, and you do not argue with these women. They are the holders of everything, very conservative, very traditional, and there's probably a generational divide and gap and conflict.
But as long as
these women are around, they're going to be the head of the family. They will dictate where the kid goes to school and what he or she learns and so on. And they're going to push this through until there's nobody left. And there was one story that I heard where a traffic policeman had done something, and he was actually beaten, not violently, but sort of gently but determinedly beaten by one of these mamas of society and put in his place.
Yes.
She got away with it, apparently. Yeah, such was her authority. It superseded the authority of this policeman. Yeah, because yes. There was a moral issue at stake. I don't know what the real story was, but morality, triumphed over rule of law. Yeah.
Yes.
So you are the eternal student, especially as a Westerner. Yeah, because you're a minority here.
Yes.
So you just become the observer and the companion.
Yes.
And I mean, Koreans are no different really to any other people. They just have different values based on their history. But they're all everywhere looking at their phones.
Yes.
But the observer will then say, so what the traffic or that the urban planners have done is, when you cross one of these 15 trillion lane highways an official zebra crossing, you need a pair of binoculars to sort of see, oh, I need to cross over there, and there's this traffic, this green man or the red man, and he's sort of blinking, and then you have the second counter, which is, you've got 10 seconds, 9 seconds, 8 seconds until he goes to a different color. But Koreans are very practical, because everyone's staring at their cell phones now. They actually have a line on the zebra crossing where the footpath goes onto the zebra crossing. And if you can't see the man on the other side of the street, because A, he's too far away, and B, you're too busy staring at your phone, but you're going to look down anyway. So when you're looking down, you will notice when the line on the footpath turns from red to green.
And oh, then, wow.
And then you can cross the road. Yeah. I mean, I find
that's nice.
I think that is a fantastic. You do not educate a population to detox from the phone. You let them get on with it, but make it easy and safe for them not to get run over while they're crossing a busy road. Because they're still kind of staring at their phone while they're crossing the road. So, brilliant solution. Why don't we think?
Might as well help them.
Yeah. Why don't we think of something like that in the West? Yeah.
Yes. That is amazing. Okay. So if you had to choose one food, something that you've already tried, that would become your magical superpower, which food and what power?
Okay. I hope I don't mispronounce these words, because Korean language is something totally unique.
Yes.
Let me. So it was on Monday, I think. We went to see the Royal Palace, and we went to, well, actually, no, I'm going to stick with this one. We went to a, let's say, typical South Korean restaurant, which is probably the size of your living room. Probably not as neat and as tidy. It certainly wouldn't pass any European or French health and safety.
I remember the picture, yes.
health and safety criteria. Mm-hmm. And the mission that the three of us, so Natalie, my wife, and I, had to accomplish was to eat bibimbap.
Okay.
Now, bibimbap is basically a broth with any five ingredients that that you want to chuck in, and then there's a fried egg on top.
Okay.
And then they serve sort of like condiments on the side, and you get a little bit of kimchi, and then you get a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and all kinds of weird and wonderful stuff. And in and you eat this with chopsticks, which I managed to learn very, very quickly. It takes you about 3 days after you sort of splattered the entire wall on the other side of the restaurant, on the other side of the street. You splattered it with your lunch or dinner or something like that. You get cramps on your thumb and your index finger because it just hurts, you know, and you're trying to get this little piece of metal, this thin metal tube, to stay positioned, disciplined in your hand. Anyway, so you sort of think, let's enjoy everything separately. So you've got a little bowl of something. So let's take it from there. A little bowl of something, and let's eat that. And then you've got this huge bowl of broth and all kinds of stuff, and your fried egg sort of floating on top. And I spoke of these middle-aged women with short hair.
Yes.
Well, let us assume she was the restaurant owner or restaurant manageress or somebody in the family business, and she wasn't going to have any of it. So she took my wife's bibimbap bowl, lifted it up, put it in front of herself, then took all the condiments and everything else and just threw it in. Took the chopsticks and stirred everything. And then plonked the bowl back in front of my wife. And I think she's, now you eat. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
This was a lesson. This was a lesson in culinary etiquette. Yeah.
Yes.
And the Korean attitude, and I've forgotten your question. the Korean attitude to food is its fuel. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it is unhealthy to eat quickly. Well, they inhale, you know, as Natalie said, it's like a vacuum cleaner or like an ant eater. You know? And then you eat, and then you go.
Yes.
Yeah. Can I have your question again? Because I think I'm digressing.
that's okay. So the question was, if your food had a magical superpower, which food and what power?
Okay, yeah. So so the superpower would be, so the food, I think it goes for any Korean food. And we started the whole food experience on Sunday. With probably the best you can imagine in the Korean cuisine, which is a Korean barbecue, because it was Natalie's husband's birthday, and they invited us to a typical Korean barbecue, And it was it was fantastic. You know, little slices of beef and then barbecued, and they did it. You know, no, you do not do this. You know, we will do, we are the experts. You eat, yeah, but don't eat, inhale. So I think you're going to, it's going to be like Rocket Man, Elton John's Rocket Man.
Yes.
You eat the food. It's all mashed together so that it's eaten quickly and efficiently. It does
Yes.
not hit any taste buds, because if it does, it'll probably burn you to death. It's so spicy, which I like.
Yes.
It sort of plonks in your stomach and then it sits there, but it gives you the energy and the fuel to go out and work and do something for the gross domestic product of Korea, which is what.
Yes.
What's the raison d'être? That's why we all, live in Korea, because we have to make the economy grow. Yeah. And even if it's the epitome of Korean cuisine, which is a Korean barbecue, no, it still gets inhaled. Unless, of course, you're a
Yes.
Westerner and you talk and gas on for 6 hours, and especially if you're French. No, you just eat, pay. No, you don't even do that. You, well, that depends. You eat, inhale, go work, Rocket Man, fuel, boom, there it is. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And so the overseas Koreans or export Koreans, or you know, what we would then perceive as Korean food, no, it's different to what you see and get in other countries. Yeah.
Yes.
It's really good. It's really good. Yeah. So just mash everything into a bowl and bingo, off it goes. Yeah.
That is strange because we also eat here and there, and we
Yeah.
don't throw everything together.
Yeah. But I think that was the exception, because we had lunch in another restaurant, and I mentioned this briefly, with the you know, where some Americans, then some got a fork,
Yes.
and I did change the story a little bit. So I did not want the fork, because I'd mastered the chopsticks, and it was udon noodles, so the really thick spaghetti noodles,
Yes.
some other stuff floating around in it. And you got a spoon, and I did actually manage to eat it and slurp my way through it without embarrassing anybody too much. Yeah.
Yes.
And the chicken cutlets. So that I think it depends on the meal, but
Yes.
Korea is all about speed. I mean, they don't do things slowly here, except a tea ceremony. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So the next question is quite interesting. If someone in South Korea handed you a scroll with your destiny, what weird prophecy would it reveal?
Wow. I don't know if it's a weird destiny. But I regret not having traveled extensively in the last 20 years.
Okay.
It's not cheap.
Yes.
Getting to the country is not cheap. I find Korea surprisingly inexpensive, in comparison to
Yes.
Europe. That makes you think. Okay, now you're sitting in South Africa, so it's a totally different ball game again for you. But from a European perspective, I find myself asking, why are things so expensive in Europe, and why is everything so overregulated in Europe, and why is everything so protected in Europe? So
Yes.
the scroll would have the destiny go forth and explore a different way of doing things. And if a 70-year-old dinosaur is the king of K-pop before it was invented, then ask yourself why. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't take anything for granted, because other people will do something better and cheaper. And I'm not revealing anything here for my story for later. One of the banes of this trip has been my cell phone. And it's low battery life, so I need a power bank, which I have with me.
Yes.
And then Natalie said, "Quad, you've got a rather, very heavy looking power bank." And she showed me hers. And I went out and bought one. And it's this little tube with a C socket, which you stick at the into the C port of your phone.
Yes.
Okay, it's not a horrific, a humongously strong one. But it's really efficient. It's lightweight. It can, if you have a speed charger, it'll recharge fairly quickly. And it was dirt cheap. Yeah, it cost the equivalent of €3. So make that, 60 Rand?
Yes.
And I was looking at all the, instructions, and it actually lacks the CE symbol, which is sort of the stamp, the license for it to be officially sold into the European Union.
Yes.
So, and this little CE symbol probably would make this thing, if you could get it in the European Union, probably make it three times as expensive.
Wow. Yeah.
plus VAT. So the scroll, would be like Marco Polo, or Christopher Columbus, head east or west, depending. Explore yes. new, learn, adapt, and make it different, or something like that. Yeah.
Yes.
do not accept the status quo that you are in. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Okay. So I know you read my reflection about the plot twist. So the next question, what was the most plot twist moment of your trip?
Well, the trip's not over, and I know what's
I
coming.
I know it's not over. Istanbul included.
Istanbul is so totally different. It's very, very far away. I'm glad we did it, if nothing, because yes. it gave me 15-hour training on how to handle. I mean, Istanbul's got about 18 million people. Seoul's about 18 million people. It sort of gave us a feel for how long it takes to do something. I mean, you go anywhere here and you spend a minimum of an hour traveling one way because the city is so gigantic.
Okay.
We took the metro out to the mountains, and then we took a bus, and the whole trip took 90 minutes, and of something like 29 metro stops between the one where we got on and the terminus station.
Wow.
And it was underground. Yeah.
Okay.
I think you'd be doing this question injustice. I think the whole trip is a plot twist.
Not exactly what you expected.
Yes and no. I think the plot twist is that how much I've missed. Yeah, but yes. The weird thing is that why none of this is really a surprise is because I spent a lot of time watching YouTube videos of people exploring Asia Yeah, you know,
Yes.
you know, these some, you know, the good ones, I mean, there's a lot of rubbish there, but occasionally you come across somebody who actually does a fantastic job of showing and explaining and explaining in some detail coherently in sensible English without all the hype, what it's like to be in an Asian city.
Yes.
And I've spoken to you and showed you the digital advertising that you see here. I mean, it is
Yes.
spectacular.
Yes.
But I know also that if you go to some Chinese cities, what they have there puts what you have in Seoul completely in the shade. I mean, who needs street lights when you've got digital advertising everywhere because they're so bright, you know?
Yes.
Or the video of some weirdo dancing to the Gangnam style under Psy's hand, you know? I haven't showed these to you because they're actually on a different storage system at the moment. I've got to extract it from there, which I can't. But on Sunday evening, we went to this bookstore. It was 6 p.m. We went to a bookstore, and it was heaving. Not because it sells great books, but they had just turned this whole thing into a winter wonderland Christmas. I mean, this is a Buddhist secular country Christmas, you know. No, but if it sells, if you can put Santa Claus into it, we're going to do that. We're going to put fairy lights everywhere. We're going to make this fantastically over the top scenario. It's going to bring people into the shop. They're not going to buy any books, but it's great advertising anyway.
Yes.
So again, the plot twist is the whole trip. Open your eyes and just discover how things are done differently with the same motivation. Mm. We're going to make money. We're going to extract the money from you somehow by hook or by crook.
Yes.
But we'll do it our way. Yeah. So yeah. And like I said, there's one part of this trip which we're going to do in the next 3 days, which will probably put everything else that I've done so far in the shade. Yeah.
Okay. So with all the videos that you watched, was there one moment that you thought Google betrayed me or YouTube betrayed me?
Yeah, because if the South Koreans, and I'd probably say the Chinese, can do fantastic 3D videos, and you sort of see this dolphin for, you know, you're looking at a 15-story building, and on the side wall is this fantastic digital advertising, and they're advertising for something, and you see this dolphin jumping and coming towards you.
Yes.
You almost feel like instinctively like I need to run for cover because this thing's going to crash on top of me and kill me.
Yes.
Then YouTube betrayed me, is that why couldn't I watch this on YouTube?
Okay.
Yeah, I have to travel 10,000 kilometers to see this in three-dimensional advertising in Seoul. Come on, guys. Yes. If you're a decent YouTuber, then come on, do it in 3D, please. You know, the technology is there, the equipment. We can all buy 3D stuff from somewhere. Samsung will sell it to you at a penny. And other brands are available. So come on, guys, get your act together. Yeah, and let me watch this in 3D on my YouTube channels that I follow.
Okay. We might give someone an idea now. Okay. So let's wrap this up with one last question. If Sol was a person you were stuck in an elevator with, what chaotic conversation would you two have?
The total inability to communicate because I don't speak Korean and the Korean doesn't speak English.
Or French or German.
Or French or German, yeah. And the likelihood that he's probably not been outside of South Korea. That makes for a very interesting experience.
Okay.
How you develop that into a conversation stuck in an elevator, we were somewhere today. I can't tell you this really, but we were somewhere today, and it was a brilliant opportunity. It was a brilliant opportunity to observe people, and in certain instances, so the place we were was predominantly women because it was something that interests women, and the young women, the women in their 20s, they know how to dress and how to dress provocatively.
Okay.
And so you could take this to an extreme. You get stuck, you take this to, you're stuck with an in an elevator with a 20-year-old girl dressed provocatively, and you cannot communicate. That is hell in a
Okay.
bo that is hell in a bottle. Yeah.
Yes.
But the and then to add insult to injury, I mean, people say that South Korea is one of the most connected places on this planet. That is true. If you're inside the system, if you have a Korean phone number, then
Okay.
you are totally 100% connected. I mean, you could watch, you could pinpoint an ant doing its thing. It's so connected. Yeah.
Wow.
But if you're a visitor, you can be connected, but it's very, very, very difficult. So
Yes.
you're not, and it starts, everything is in Korean. There is very little that is translated into English.
Yes.
So you need Google Translate.
Yes.
And you can download it and use it offline, but maybe it doesn't work. So you're looking at something in Korean. You have no connectivity because you do not have a Korean telephone number. So
Yes.
basically, you're screwed, to put it in
Yes.
plain language. Yeah. And you just resigned to the fact that you're a zombie walking in this weird place where you just don't understand anybody. They don't understand you.
Yes.
And yeah, it's weird. It's totally and utterly weird. And then when they do produce something, it's sort of like hilariously funny. I mean, everyone's seen these badly translated signs everywhere. And
Yes.
they exist for real here. Some of them are actually brilliantly translated, or play with words that people may not actually know what they've done.
Yes.
Or a formulation. Let's not, in Europe you would say, do not litter or do not throw your trash on the ground or something like that.
Yes.
And the Koreans are very polite. They say, let us not throw our litter onto the ground. The fact that there's no rubbish bins anywhere is totally beside the point. Yeah. You just carry your stuff back home and throw it away at home.
Yes.
And I thought the Germans were bad with recycling and separating rubbish. When I go into Natalie's kitchen, it's like about, it's crazy. It is totally crazy. Yeah. So it's a fascinating place. Yeah, absolutely. But you've
Yes.
got to look at the detail because superficially it's like any other city. Yeah. But you've got to go
Yes.
into the detail. Yeah.
Okay. Very interesting. I can't wait for the next couple of days on your
Yes.
behalf.
Yes. Well, yeah. So I'll paint you the picture what it's like. So I go through, because it's actually good fun now, because I have a purpose when I see something. I think, well, can I put this into my daily story with Fruit Loop? Yeah. So I walk
Okay.
through, I do what I do, take
Yes.
the pictures, and then it's we have dinner, and sort of by 9 o'clock the day ends, and I go, and the last couple of days my wife hasn't been here. So I would go into my room, crawl into bed, and I'd start composing this story. Yeah.
Yes.
Of course, you yesterday have nothing better to do than try and look over my shoulder. So I says, "Why, go away, you know, I don't want you here." Leave me
And
alone.
then I left you alone.
You did, yeah. Yeah. And for me, it's like, I mean, I've got my handwritten notes, I've got my notebook, and I do my handwritten notes. But for me, it's like processing this day, and I get a lot of pleasure doing this, because
Yes.
I know it's appreciated by you and your husband. And yeah, that's how it works. The
Yes.
stories will be a little bit shorter the next couple of days, because the rhythm and the dynamics of the day will change.
Yes.
And like I said, Natalie and I had like this 60-hour window for our marathon, and boy, did we go for it. Yeah.
All in good fun.
All in good fun. Yeah. So, but yes, but the next 3 days will be shorter stories, but hopefully a little bit more unusual. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm
Starting
looking forward to
with today's, yeah.
that. Okay. I'm looking forward to
Okay.
it. Okay. So, Frank, thank you very much for answering my silly questions.
They're not silly. We all know that. Thank you for
Yes.
putting them to me.
It's
Yeah. Thank you.
my pleasure. And sharing your experience and your holiday until now.
Yeah.
I really look forward to the
Yeah, and the swimming club have given their 10 cents worth as well. So,
Oh, yes.
I'm going to be a lo I'm going to be doing a lot of processing in the next couple of weeks. Yeah,
Yes.
it's going to take me, because I've got tons of paper and stuff as well that I've picked up. And so, yeah, no, it's good fun, and I enjoy sharing it with everybody, because I know it resonates. Yeah,
Yes,
and
definitely.
thank you for making our 6 month peeling potatoes so special, because it is, 6 months, we've hit a milestone, and I'm sort of like 10,000 kilometers away.
Yes.
It just makes the whole thing special, and I think that's part of the process of what we're trying to do, and be a little bit different, and let's stay like this. Yeah.
Yes, I agree. And
Okay.
it's my pleasure.
Thank you, and I better stop
It's a
recording here,
pleasure.
hadn't I?
Yes.